哎呀，
我们 start the session reading Heart Sutra, and that will follow with the silent meditation, and then I will read the text. That's on page 76, Heart Sutra. Read the sutra as we imagined the presence of the Buddha, the historical Buddha Gautama, and all those great teachers. While we are reading the sutra, of course, if we are able to meditate according to the topic, the emptiness, that is great. If that is difficult, then strongly imagine from the Buddha and all those great teachers in a form of multi-colored lights, in the nature of their great compassion, and particularly in this case, wisdom, descend upon us and upon all living beings, and think that we have received all their blessings and inspirations. Through that, all the difficulties, and particularly the obstacles to cultivate the wisdom realizing emptiness, are completely overcome, eliminated. And at the same time, think that we received all the favorable conditions to cultivate great compassion and wisdom, realizing emptiness. Through that, being able to give help and support for others in a more effective way, more profound level. Reading the Heart Sutra. I prostrate, I triple gem. Thus did I hear at one time the Bhagavan was dwelling on Aspergius Mountain in Rajgir together with a great community of monks and a great community of bodhisattvas. At that time, the Bhagavan was absorbed in the concentration on the categories of phenomena called profound perception. Also, at that time, the Bodhisattva Mahasattva Arya Avalokiteshvara looked upon the great practice of profound perception of wisdom and beheld the sunlight because also of the entity of inherent existence. Then the third power Buddha, the Venerable Shariputra, said this to the Bodhisattva Mahasattva Arya Avalokiteshvara. How should any son of lineage to train who wishes to practice the activity of the profound perfection of wisdom? Sedmat Bodhisattva Mahasattva Arya Avalokiteshvara said this to the Shariputra and his son of the lineage or daughter of the lineage who wishes to practice the activity of the profound professional wisdom should look upward like this, correctly and repeatedly beholding those five aggregates of the empty and inherent nature. Form is empty, emptiness is form. Emptiness is not other than form. Form is also not other than emptiness. In the same way, feeling, discrimination, composition, practice, and consciousness are empty. Shariputra, likewise, all phenomena are empty. Without characteristic, unproduced, unseized, stemless, without disdain, not deficient, not fulfilled. Shariputra, therefore, in emptiness there is no form, no feeling, no discrimination, no conversational practice, no consciousness. No eye, no ear, no nose, no tongue, no body, no mind. No visual form, no sound, no odor, no taste, no object of touch, and no phenomena. There is no mind element and soul, up to and including no mind element, and no consciousness element. There is no ignorance, no extinction of ignorance, and so on. Up to and including no aging and death, no extinction of aging and death. Similarly, there is no suffering, origination, cessation, and power. There is no exalted wisdom, no attainment, and also no non-attainment. Shariputra, therefore, there is no attainment. Bodhisattva is alone and dwell in the perfection of wisdom. The mind without obscuration, without fear. Having completely passed beyond error, they reach the end point of Nirvana. All the Buddhas who dwell in the daytime also manifestly completely awakened, unsurpassable, perfect, complete enlightenment, in the reliance on the perfection of wisdom. Therefore, the mantra of the perfection of wisdom, the mantra of great knowledge, the unsurpassed mantra, the mantra equal to the unequalled, the mantra that thoroughly pacifies all suffering, should be known as truth, since it is not false. The mantra of the perfection of wisdom is declared, Vayata, Gati, Gati, Paragati, Parasangati, Bodhisattva. Shariputra, Bodhisattva, Mahasattva should train the profound professional wisdom like that. Then the Bhagavan rose from my concentration and commended the Bodhisattva, Mahasattva, Arya Avalokiteshvara, saying, well said, son of the lineage, it is like that. It is like that one should practice the profound profession of wisdom just as you have indicated. Even the Tathagatas rejoice. The Bhagavan having thus spoken, the Venerable Shariputra, Bodhisattva, Mahasattva, Arya Avalokiteshvara, and those standing in their entirety, along with the world of gods, humans, Asuras, and Devas, were overjoyed and highly praised as spoken by the Bhagavan.
To about 15 minute silent meditation. And as you know, the purpose of this meditation is simply to enhance a calm, clear and focused mind. The mind which has the qualities of stillness and clarity. And when we have these two qualities, stillness, that is, our minds have the ability to stay with one given task or an object, and clarity, while the mind is with the object of the meditation, it is fully aware of the object of the meditation. The full attention or the awareness is with the object of the meditation. Here, as we know, we should avoid any form of discursive mental activities for this meditation. Of course, analysis, investigations are crucial. Some of the other meditation, particularly cultivation of vipassana, but in here, that kind of discursive mental activities should be avoided, simply to cultivate the stillness and the clarity. Enter into meditation very gently, not rushing. Prepare the sitting posture, and also, you know, prepare the, if you want to choose a particular meditation object, prepare the object of the meditation. And when these two preparations are done, then simply gently cultivate the stillness and the clarity. So we'll start this meditation. Oh, yeah. Yesterday, our main reading from the Middle Lambrim is the section where Jason Carver explains one of the main prerequisites for the cultivation of Vipassana, for the cultivation of Vipassana, and that is, you know, the establishing, literal translation is establishing the right view. Establishing the right view. Establishing the right view in the sense of, you know, the for us to do the Vipassana meditation, you know, insight meditation, first we need to, you know, make sure that, you know, the topic, the subject that we are going to make, you know, familiarize with our minds. And here the topic or the subject is emptiness, selflessness. And that is the, Jason Carver sees the main prerequisites or favorable conditions should create for the meditation of Vipassana, special insight. And yesterday, from the reading, we saw Jason Carver is saying, you know, that although the historical Buddha, Gautama, taught many different solutions for many different distorted mental states, like attachment, aversion, and jealousy, envy, and so forth, you know, that he taught many different solutions. Among these solutions, the one solution that he taught, that is the teaching of impermanent emptiness, that teaching is the solution for all the afflictions that we experience, because that teaching on emptiness, how to realize, you know, the nature of emptiness, nature of selflessness, that realization goes, you know, the root, tackles the root of the all our difficulties, and that is ignorance. That is ignorance. Then Jason Carver continued to explain what kind of ignorance that we are talking about, ignorance, which is root of cyclic existence, you know, that he said is the complete opposite of the, you know, the mental states, you know, the mental state which is completely opposite of the wisdom realizing emptiness. The wisdom realizing emptiness, here, you know, so far we saw some of those statements made by some of those great Indian masters. The mind, the wisdom that seen, wisdom that sees all things and events lacks or empty of any intrinsic or inherent entity within themselves as they are. And the seeing that is the wisdom realizing emptiness. And the root of cyclic existence, which is called which is called ignorance, is complete opposite of that wisdom. That is the mind that believing, that perceiving, that grasping the things and events have some form of intrinsic entity or inherent nature within themselves as they are. So that is the opposite of that wisdom, seeing, perceiving, realizing, lack of, empty of that kind of nature. And that's what we saw yesterday, one of our main reading. Then Jesongapa continues to explain manner of that, you know, the self-grasping, how that ignorance, which is technically called self-grasping, dangzin, or sometimes is used the term denzin, true grasping, you know, they all are same in this, in here, you know, the in the Chandakirti section that we are reading, you know, the Prasangika section that we are reading, true grasping, self-grasping, they're all different terms, but the same sort of meaning. So the manner of self-grasping, how self-grasping apprehends the things and events, and that we saw yesterday. And that is explained by Jesongkhapa, going through several different sources, starting from a sutra, then going through Nagarjuna, then Aryadev, then Chandakirti's commentary on Aryadev's verses, then Jesongkhapa his own, you know, the explanation based on these quotations. And that is something really important to visit again and again, you know, try to contemplate, try to understand that part. Then we moved on to read the section where Jesongkhapa explains, you know, this self-grasping, you know, this ignorance, the self-grasping or true grasping, you know, has two kinds, two types, self-grasping of person and self-grasping of phenomenon, self-grasping of person and self-grasping of phenomena. Both are, at the beginning of the section, yesterday's reading, there's a paragraph, Jesongkhapa said, you know, both are self-grasping of person, self-grasping of phenomena, both are afflicted ignorance, although other Madhyamika school masters like Baba Bhikkha, you know, asserts self-grasping of person is afflicted ignorance, however, self-grasping of phenomena, true grasping of phenomena, is not afflicted ignorance. It is, obscuration to attain full enlightenment. But in here, you know, in this Chandakirtis, which Jesongkhapa is closely following, both graspings are afflicted ignorance. That means afflictions, not the, you know, the obscuration to attain enlightenment. Both are obscuration to attain liberation, affliction. Then we briefly look at, you know, the different, you know, the different object of the self-grasping, you know, the referent object of self-grasping, and object of grasping of the self-grasping. We look at that, and that is also very, very useful to revisit again and again, you know, to try to understand what is the referent object of the self-grasping or person, and what is the grasping object of the self-grasping of person. You know, grasping, that's what I translate. If you prefer the other translation, that's also perfectly fine. But that's what I translate. And there, the referent object of the self-grasping of the person is the person, individual, the self. The grasping object of the self-grasping of the person is that inherent existence, the self-existence or intrinsic existence, all those, inherent, exist in and of itself, all those different terms that we saw yesterday. That is the grasping object of the self-grasping of person, which does not exist at all. So those are the things that we covered yesterday. Just briefly recap, yesterday's reading. And today we will continue our reading from there. Today, first, I would like to start briefly reading from the Essence of True Eloquence from today's starting topic, which is useful. People who have the Essence of True Eloquence, it is on 291. If you don't have, just put that page number, might be useful later when you go back home to revisit that part. By the way, don't do what I've done. It is very, very disrespectful, and but for practical reason, I did it. So page 291, and that is also the section that we are going to read today, and the coming days we'll revisit that. And it is the section where Jesongkhapa is explaining, according to the the Chantakirti, this self-grasping, in general the self-grasping or true grasping, or if you bring down more in a closer. Self-grasping of the person and self-grasping of the phenomena. There are two kinds, two types, which yesterday there was a question. And here the translator translated saying the habitual modes of intellectual and unconscious rarefication. In other words, acquired self-grasping and innate self-grasping, innate here translated unconscious ratification or self-grasping. So we are in this is not the really point what I'm going to make. My point what I'm going to make is the after the first line where there is a started with the question by Jesongkhapa saying, what sort of mental habit holds things to be intrinsically identifiable? So intrinsically identifiable, it is exactly the same as inherent existence, intrinsic existence, self, all those are the same. This is a different translation, intrinsically identifiable. In Tibetan, Rangitsinyi Duba. Literal translation should be like this, established by its own characteristics. That should be the literal translation, established by the by its own characteristics. Rangi tsinyi tuba. But here, a translator prefer to use intrinsically identifiable. So this is the question. So the point of mainly what I'm going to read is the next Jetsun Kapa's answer. His answer is not straight away, okay, this is the intrinsically identifiable reality, but his answer starts with this, and this is an interesting part of today's, this session's reading. To describe, first of all, the pattern of this mental habit of the philosophers. So what Jetsun Kapa has done to explain these two types of kinds of, you know, the sort of grasping, what you call the innate and contrived, you know, the self-grasping, what Jetsun Kapa has said, it will be good to explain first, you know, the to describe, first of all, the pattern of this mental habit, you know, either the intellectual or innate self-grasping of the philosophers. So now then continues, they investigate the meaning of the conventional expression, and under the quotation, person, in which uses as this person, so this person, that is really under the quotation, that kind of expression is the important for our reading. This person perform or act this action and experienced, you know, the this result. So in other words, you know, the saying that, you know, if we use the Buddhist jargon, I create this karma, and I'm going to experience this karmic results. And that is, if we use the Buddhist jargon, and that's what really, actually what it's saying. I, or the, this person, I create this action, karma. I am going to experience the result of this this action. What is important here is not in our main focus is not what is karma, not what is the result of karma. Our main focus is I create this action. I am going to experience this result. Here the main focus is that I. Or here the term is used, this person, and that is the main focus. By such analysis as, then another one, under quotation, is the person the very same thing as his or her his own aggregates, or is he something different from them? And that is really, that statement is quite useful. Just to reflect on this briefly, what he's saying is, I create this action, I who create this action, and I am going to experience this result. And that creator of the action and experiencer of the result, what kind of connection, what kind of relationship that person has relation to the this mind and body, the aggregates, where that person lies or exists in relation to this aggregates, who create the action, who is going to experience the result. And that is really something important one here, you know, because for the you know, the for the practitioner, in this case, follower of the teachings of the Buddha, you know, the ontological status of I, in other words, existence of I, you know, the, is crucial. Otherwise, what's the point? You know, who's going to experience liberation? Who's going to experience enlightenment? You know, if I doesn't exist. So therefore, ontological status is as important as, you know, the philosophical explanation. You know, the, and here, that's what here, you know, and yeah. So this is what he's saying. Is the person or is the I the very same thing as his own aggregates? You know, is it something just, you know, I, when we say I, the person who create karma, action, is the same thing as these five aggregates? Or something really different from these five aggregates? If it's very different, what kind of different that you are looking at? If they are same, you know, what kind of that sameness you are looking at? The I, or the self, or the person who create and who are going to experience the result. And that is what here it is important. And then here, now I'm going to stop reading the, you know, the Essence of True Eloquence for the time being, and now we'll go back to the our main text, the Maitreya Lamrim. Okay, now if you look at page 5, the last paragraph in page 5. In the Essence of True Eloquence, Jasongkhapa briefly mentioned, but not that detail, but here, here, you know, the Jasongkhapa has explained a little bit detail now in the last paragraph, if you look at this. With the respect to the object of observation, so object of observation, you should, I mean, this is how he translated, and as I translated yesterday, referent object. With the respect to the referent object of a conception of a self or person, in other words, with regard to the referent object of the self-grasping of person, you know, in my English. So that's what he is saying. With respect to the referent object of the self-grasping of the person, now here, Jasongkhapa says this, Chandrakirti's supplement to Nagarjuna treatises on the middle way. This is one of the most important texts written by Chandrakirti. Chandrakirti's, you know, the commentary on Nagarjuna's fundamental wisdom, you know, the, it is not commentary as a line by line, as he had put it, saying supplement to Nagarjuna's, you know, the Nagarjuna's text of, you know, the fundamental wisdom, but it is a very, very important text for the particularly for the Chandrakirti and Jasongkhapa. Jasongkhapa, you know, the wrote a amazing commentary on Chandrakirti's, this here that translated saying the treatise on the middle way. Some translators translated saying introduction to middle way. You know, there are different translations. I usually say the entrance to the middle way, Umala Chupa in Tibetan, Madhyamika Avatara in Sanskrit. And in that text, the text itself has 10 chapters. Out of the 10 chapters, the 6th chapter is the main, the most extensive one. Rest of the chapters are short, and they all deal with the different perfections, generosity to up to the 10th chapter, 10th, you know. The 6th chapter, which is the chapter deals with the wisdom, and that's the most extensive one. And in that chapter, there's a section. There's a section where Chandrakirti, listed the different presentation of I, or the self, and in this case, in the direct to our reading, the referent object of the self-grasping. The referent object of self-grasping. The Chandrakirti have listed, even from the non-Buddhist Indian philosophical schools, how they posit, or how they present, although they won't say the referent object of the self-grasping of the person, but what is the person who create the karma, who is going to experience the result, what is that person? And then all the way up to, Chandrakirti's, his own version of what is that I or the self. And that's what here Jetsongkhapa briefly touched on, and for us this is quite useful. He says this: explain that one Samkhya sect asserts that all five aggregates are the base or object of observation, or the referent object of a view of self, the view of self, or the referent object of the self-grasping. Whereas, although, as I said, I don't know whether Samkhya will say that is the referent object of the self-grasping, whether they will use the self-grasping or not, I don't know. That is the Buddhist, But anyway, this is what here it says. Whereas another asserts that just the mind is the referent object of the self-grasping of the person. In other words, the I, the person, the individual, the mind. Also, with respect to the mind, some Chittamatrins and Madhyamikas who assert a mind basis of all, assert that mind basis of all is the object of observation. Whereas the Madhyamika, such as the Bhavabhika, who do not assert mind basis of all, so in other words, now he's coming, Jetsongkhapa briefly explaining within the Buddhism, within the Buddhist philosophical schools, what is I? What is I? What is I which creates action and going to experience the result? And there are varieties of presentation. Some would say, the collection of the aggregates, the collection of tsokpa, pungpa tsokpa, collection of the aggregates, five aggregates, is the I or the person. Some would say within the five aggregates, one of them, like the mind, out of the five aggregates, the fifth aggregate, which is the mind, within the fifth mind, there are different, but say the mind. And within the mind, like the Chittamatran masters will say, not just the mind, a particular mind, which is the called mind basis of all. But then coming to the Madhyamika schools, within the Madhyamika school, you know, like the Bhavavika, will say that because not Bhavavika not assert, reject existence of mind basis of all, according to which Chittamatran is, that's the case, but Bhavavika will say the mind. There's a one particular term in Tibetan called Tsenshi Yigi Namshe. Tsenshi Yigi Namshe. This one, Tsenshi, has a particular meaning. Particular meaning. Tsenshi in Tibetan. So if I use this one, the term in Tibetan, in English, vase, you know, the vase. Not this vase, vase. Then if that is the general. Now if I ask you to bring a particular vase, then you will bring a one. Or the, when I say bring a vase, you will bring a particular vase, either glass vase or the, you know, whatever. You cannot bring that general, you know, that vase, because that is abstract. You know, that is. That doesn't mean that doesn't exist. That does exist. Don't think that doesn't exist. That one up there. So that when I ask you to bring a vase, when you bring a particular vase, that is called in Tibetan Tsenshi, Pumbe Tsenshi, that particular vase. So when said, yes, I exist, the self exists, and it exists not somewhere outside of this mind and body, it exists within this mind and body, then, okay, then, you know, which one? Bring me something. Particularly for the below the Bhavavika Buddhist philosophical schools, you know, including Bhavavika, you know, if something exists, you know, as we briefly touched on yesterday, that existence must be validated. Do you remember yesterday? Must be validated. It is not good enough for the below the Bhavavika, all the Buddhist philosophical masters, it is not good enough. You know, this is table. Existence of table, you know, is not good enough just conventionally, this is table. It has to be, you know, validated by the term that I used yesterday, unimpaired mind. Validated by another unimpaired mind. It is not good enough conventionally, this is called table. That indicates, that for the Chandakirti, that really raised the alarm, you know, for the Chandakirti. What alarm is raised for Chandakirti, if you believe in that way, that manner of existence, then you are asserting existence of table, there's a something in this, as a table. And that is the raising the alarm for the Chandakirti. For Bhavavika, below the Bhavavika, all the Buddhist philosophical master, you know, if existence is just that conventional, it is table, then it is more or less close to non-existent, nihilist. Okay? So now come back to our topic, I. Our main topic is the I. Now, existence of I, relation to this body, if nothing to be found or nothing to be bring up as a I, then for them it is difficult to say I exist relation to this minded body. Therefore, they are bringing up one of from here as an I, either the all five aggregates or one particular mental state, mind basis for all, or the mind itself. That's the, you know, the. Okay, so, and that is here, you know, the all the our reading. Umabakaji, nyendo de omo iji namshi mipo deva yola, didage lola yang lam kumbapoda. So if you read a little bit, then we will see this. Bhavega who do not assert mind basis all, and many hearers, that means those, you know, the individual liberation seekers, assert that mental consciousness is the object of observation, or in other words, referent object of the self-grasping. With respect to the meaning in this system of, now look at this part, and this system of the designation, the person, what is designated, what is labeled, the person, as the cultivator of the path, and the, how do you pronounce?
Revolver.
Oh, yeah, going around. Revolver in cyclic existence. You need to know the two modes of the pasangika position. Positing the mere I. So here Jetsongkhapa made a one brief conclusion. So put all the Buddhist philosophical schools, or including that Samkhya, put all up to the Bhavavika as one, and the Pasangika as another. One, all the starting from the non-Buddhists, from Samkhya to Bhavavika, they all assert the creator, you know, or the cultivator, you know, or the practitioner, the person, and the person who is going round and round in cyclic existence, you know, they posit, you know, they present that something from the five aggregates. Something from the five aggregates where the person is designated. This is important one. Where the person is designated, or where the person is labeled, or where the I is labeled. You know, the I or the person or the individual is labeled on the five aggregates. They bring one of them or all together as what is labeled on the persons or the individuals. And this one will have a big, big impact by doing that. For Chandakirti, doing that, what is labeled on? This is what is labeled on five aggregates. What is labeled on? The person or the individual. Individual or the person is labeled on five aggregates, and they bring one of the five aggregates, which is the basis of labeling, one of them as a what is labeled on. Do you understand what I'm talking about? That really need to hold that. You know, for Chandakirti, reading Nagarjuna's text, that is big contradiction. You know, bringing the basis of the designation is what is designated on. Do you know what I mean? And for Chandakirti, that is big, big mistake. You know, so that we will see later now. Now here this says, so now this out of the two positions, out of the two sort of way of presenting what is I, that create karma and going to experience a result, and all these is one, and pasangika, you know, positing the mere I, the mere I. What is that mere I? Then that is really the important one. That's really important one, which, you know, the conventional I, you know, conventional mere I. Do you remember yesterday while we are reading from the Essence of True Eloquence, the meaning of merely nomination? Do you remember that part reading yesterday? The meaning of mere nomination. Mere nominality. Yeah. So that is here, it's exactly the same meaning. Mere I, mere nominality. And other schools are positing the mind basis of all and so forth as a, this is what I was talking about earlier, as an illustration. This is what I gave you. You know, the, I use that example, vase. And illustrate me what is vase. Then you will bring a particular vase. This is vase. You know, the, and that's what he's, they are saying. You know, yes, I exist with this relation to the five aggregates. Illustrate me the I. Then they will bring one of them. You know. But the Chandakirti, the Pasangika, do not. Not if the Pasangika, Chandakirti will not bring, not will illustrate one of them as an I, instead of that saying the conventional I, the mere I. That's the I. Okay? So that is what here I'm saying. As an illustration of that, that is to say, this is translators added, that is to say as something that is the I. Okay. Now, that is the really one of the today's main tasks. So far, what we have seen is, you know, yes, these all are, as yesterday Rose, you know, raised the question. Tomorrow we are going to see the contrived and the explanation of I. So that's true. You know, we are looking at the I, the self or the person, or if you go to the direct hour reading, the referent object of the self grasping. The referent object of that is our main focus here, the referent object of the self-grasping. You know, all these masters, or these philosophical masters, when they are asked, what is the referent object of the self-grasping, they all bring one of those, you know, according to their philosophical stance. And that is, you know, yes, contrived, that is contrived. Now, having said that, is it mere I, the conventional I, which Pasangika presents as an I, is it contrived notion of I, or is it innate notion of I? You know, I'm talking about the last one. Out of the two, all the one, you know, from the Samkhya non-Buddhist to up to the, you know, the Bhavavika, you know, the Madhyamika Svatantika, all their version of, you know, the I or the self or the person, which is the referent object of the self-grasping. Yes, we can say that is contrived. I mean, we are saying it, we are just saying it, not knowing it, just saying that what is said in here. You know, as I said yesterday, at the present, at the moment, our knowledge is very much at the first step out of those three stages, you know, listening, knowledge from the listening, or reading from others, or, as I use another term, one of the Tibetan teachers use, saying the knowledge that we borrow from others. You know? Of course, I'm not undermining your knowledge, but you know, if you have it, brilliant. That's you know, that's great. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that is here the point. Now the point is it contrived or innate? That Prasangika's version of, you know, that mere I, you know, positing or presenting, this is the, you know, the referent object of the self-grasping of person. I think it is very important for us to make it very clear why I'm bringing again and again this one, a referent object of the self-grasping of person. That is the way the mistakes are made. Mistakes are made in relation to the referent object of the self-grasping. And that is the I, the self, the person, the individual. And that needs to be identified precisely. You know, precisely. And that's what, and which also not only that, as we saw the Tsongkhapa's writing here, that referent object of self-grasping is the I who creates karma, I who is going to experience the result. And also here said, that referent object of the self-grasping is the cultivator of the path or going round in samsara. So, you know, all those reasons, that's very important. So to bring in here. Mm? Okay, now. Mm? Now, this is not very, very important, but you know, it is in our reading section, and the line which, you know, the page 5, the last line, which says, with respect to the innate view of the transitory, which is a conception of self, which we talked about yesterday, that one. And it just, because we are around this area, just draw our attention in this here briefly. Here it says, Chandrakirti's supplement to Nagarjuna, in a treatise on the middle way, refutes that the aggregates are the object of observation. In other words, referent object of the innate view of transitory. You know, according to Jetsongkhapa's reading Chandrakirti's sublime, you know, the treatise on the middle way, Jetsongkhapa says, in that treatise, Chandrakirti rejects, you know, any aggregates, said, my five aggregates is the referent object. Now listen, this last bit is reject any of my five aggregates, reject the referent object of the innate view of transitory. Innate view of the transitory. Okay? Just write down that if you want. This will be helpful. You know, the not very much, you know, the different from the self-grasping of the person, you know, but the usage of the term, there is different. Here the term is used, innate self, innate, you know, the view of transitory. Yeah, innate view of transitory. So, Jesongkhapa says, Chandakirti rejects any of the five aggregates is the referent object of the innate view of transitory. Mm? And that's what here, just briefly to you know, to remind ourselves that bit. This may be useful in the future reading, you know, for you to go that. Mm? Okay, now I'm going to, if you look at the same paragraph, the paragraph now page six, same paragraph. Why don't we read the paragraph itself, then that some important part I will give some, you know, the commentary. And I'm reading that paragraph, page six, the beginning of that. And Treatise on the Middle Way refutes that the aggregates are the object of observation. And then he says this. And his commentary, he says, the commentary is auto-commentary by Chandrakirti on this text, Treatise on the Middle Way. On his commentary, he says that the dependently imputed self is the object of observation. In other words, referent object. Dependently imputed. Dependently imputed self. You know, just familiarize that statement. Dependently imputed I. Dependently imputed person. Dependently imputed individual is the referent object of the innate view of transitory. Innate view of transitory. And that's what Jesongkhapa is explaining based on Chandrakirti. Since he says that even the collection of the five collection of the aggregates is not the conventional self, neither the collection at one time, nor the collection which is the continuum of the aggregates over time are the object of observation. So, you know, either not the one of the aggregates, not the collection of the five aggregates, or the collection of some one time, or continuation of the five aggregates, none of them, you know, the referent object of the innate view of transitory. Or, if you put it another way, none of them is the referent object of the self-grasping or person. You know, so you could put it those as the same. Sometimes some teachers do, some teachers don't, but it doesn't matter. So this is, you know, really important in here. If you remember, now look at the term, transitory view, innate transitory view, you know, innate transitory view. And if you remember yesterday, when I was describing about the meaning of transitory, that is explained relation to the five aggregates. The view or the the belief, you know, the grasping, you know, of self or inherent I or intrinsic I is occurred based on the transitory aggregates. It sounds for us transitory aggregates is the referent object. Why not? You know, transitory object, the five aggregates which are transitory nature, which are constantly changing, constantly moving in that kind of transitory nature, based on that, then that view, that wrong view, the view that I or the self exist, that referent object of the I, the referent object of self-grasping exist in this particular manner, the manner of intrinsic inherent. It sounds very much the aggregates are the referent object. But here, Chandrakirti Jesongkhapa is saying, Chandrakirti flatly refute any one of them, not individually, not collectively, not at a particular given time, or neither the continuation of the aggregates. And that's what here, rather the mere I, the conventional I, which is the object observed, referent object, in generating the mere thought I. Now, this is useful. Generating in the sense of occurring, you know, sometimes very innocently, sometimes in a very important time, that I, occurring that I, you know, sense of, when we have this feeling of I am here in a retreat, I'm not learning anything. I'm exhausted. I want to go back home as soon as I can. You know, that I, that arisen, that kind of notion. You know, according to Jesongkhapa, reading Chandrakirti's text, saying that occurs, that feeling of I, notion of I, you know, the I occurs conventionally, you know, mere I or conventional I. What does that mean, conventional I? What does that mean, mere I? You know, that means nothing to be found as an I where it is designated. As simple as that. If you search, if you examine, nothing to be found as an I. That's the meaning of mere conventional or mere I. Meaning of mere, you know, means if you search, not to be found. That is the meaning of mere. If there's no profound meaning, sorry, nothing I can do. Okay, now, cup of tea might be more profound. Oh, yeah. Deep breath now.